Next Sunday, October 27th, we will be celebrating Reformation. And I want to encourage all of you, please, Pastor Hafeman will be back. Let us drown him in a sea of red Sunday morning, okay? Red is the color of the day for Reformation. And that will be awesome, okay? All right. Several other bulletin announcements here today. First of all, I don't know how many of you know Al Fisher. He attended Sunday morning Bible classes very frequently and also was involved over at, I think, was it Carolyn, the Bridge, with a Bible study there with Arnie Buron. Al suddenly passed away. Well, it wasn't suddenly, but he did pass away this past week. He had cancer. I don't know how many of you know who Al is, but his memorial service will be will be November 2nd here at Trinity. It's a Saturday at 10 a.m. So keep the Fisher family, his wife's name is Lois, in your prayers. Also, for those of you who know the Dalbert family, Vern's in the rehabilitation center, hospital out here on the way to Loveland. It's on the left-hand side of the road. And he suffered a stroke. He did actually have a stroke. And Elaine said, I talked to her, and needless to say, they're kind of private people. They don't need a lot of people coming to the rehabilitation center right now because he's obviously in therapy, getting things taken care of. However, you certainly can send get well cards to their home. And if you need a bullet or an address book, we have them over there in the office. So we can send them information. I'll try to keep you informed as to what the progress is. But anyway, Pastor will be arriving back in town next week, but he will not be available until Sunday morning, the 27th, which is Reformation Sunday. So we pray for their safe return today, or for this coming week. Also flowers today, Doug and Candy Reed, in celebration of their daughter's birthday, Taylor's birthday. So we thank them for the flowers. Ken, thank you for being here again. Scholarship fundraising campaign. We're going to have a little video this morning, and Mr. Erickson will introduce Renee, the teacher, and give you some other details about things that are upcoming there. Cook's Night Out is this week at Red Robin on Tuesday, October 22nd. I think there are forms out there in the narthex that you need to take with you when you go there. You're going to talk about the Fall Festival and the cookout. Owls will be meeting next week on Thursday, Older, Wiser Lutheran Seniors at noon. And Joyce, are there sign-up sheets for that? Okay, and they're out in the narthex area too, in case you're coming. And so they can prepare that enough food for you in time. Well, at this time then, I'll introduce Mr. Erickson, and he has some wonderful thoughts for us today.
Lots of great things happening, and so it sounds like lots of sign-up sheets to draw your attention to. And one other thing, our Veterans Day program is coming up. It'll be on Monday, November 11th this year. And so instead of doing it the Friday, we're gonna do it on Veterans Day, the 11th. I've got all the list of names of veterans saved on file, so if you've turned in the form in the years past, I have it, but if you have not, there's a form in the narthex as well that just, the idea there is we'll have a list of all the veterans' names scrolling on the screens before and after the service, and so you can fill out the form, get that to me or to the front office, and we'll make sure that we include them on the screen. And so Veterans Day program coming up, and then Cook's Night Out, the forms are also in the narthex. Mr. Whitney got that. I think that's it with those announcements. And so at this time, we have Mrs. Renee Hine here with us, our fifth and sixth grade teacher, and so we have a video and a few words from her. So I'll invite her up in front of the congregation.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So nice to see you. I'm so happy to be here. I don't get an opportunity. I attend Faith Lutheran in Johnstown. That's where I live. And so I don't get an opportunity to worship with you, so I'm very, very blessed and happy to be here. May I just take a moment to thank you very much for supporting our school. It's a wonderful place to be, and I am so thankful and blessed to be there. A week or so ago, I have to share with you a little aha moment that I had when we were at Breckenridge. Our speaker was on, the keynote speaker was talking about our generations and why we are the way we are and the kids that we are trying to teach. And my aha moment for that whole few days that we were there was these kids don't need us to give them information. They've got it at their fingertips every day through the internet, YouTube, whatever. And they do learn through images and audio. But they do need us to interpret this information. Think about that. They do need us. They still need us. So, thank you. Hit it back there.
Hi, I'm Mrs. H. Welcome to fifth and sixth grade. I am very blessed and privileged to have these wonderful kids in my presence and get to interact with them every day. I don't think you're going to find a better group of kids. There's not a throwback in the group. There really isn't. The responsibilities that we have are huge. And we do have the privilege and honor of each day putting the flags up. And it's been a very good learning experience, not only for myself, but for them and our patriotism. So they start out with that every morning, and then we have devotions, and we get right to it. What is the biggest privilege you've got here?
Oh, learning about Jesus.
Yes! Usually in the mornings we have our language arts program, and we have book club, and get a little play time, some downtime, recess, and snack time. But we're very blessed. Certainly are.
Hopefully you make this day the best, and at recess keep us all safe so we don't move around.
What would you say is one of your favorite things about Trinity? Think about it.
I like the classroom because Miss H brings in all of these weird bugs, and I like science.
Bugs, that's what I'm known for, my weird bugs.
We also get a lot of privileges in the school, but my last school was not as good because our last school, there's a bunch of people that were bullies and didn't have any kindness. Aww. So that's why I like it.
Hey Trinity, we are truly blessed to have our fifth and sixth grade class led by Mrs. H, Mrs. Hine. This is our leaders of the school, and we couldn't be more blessed to have this class as our leaders of the school. This is truly a class that they take care of the young, they lead by example, they are very caring and nurturing, and so we are blessed to have them to be the leaders of our school, who can daily show Christ's love to all those that are younger than them, and they show that love to us teachers as well. And so what a great opportunity it is to be with them daily. And so we thank you again for all of your support for this school ministry.
Thank you, Trinity!
Amen!
Bigger!
Amen! Woo!
You're very blessed to have a wonderful principal and a DCE that's teaches in our school too. You guys are so lucky. You are.
Pastor Hafem and I also have the opportunity during the week to go into that classroom and instruct the students in God's holy word. And there are times when I am thankful that I retired from that opportunity. But anyway, they are truly a great blessing. And some of those kids that are in there, I taught their parents. So, you know, I've been around here, unfortunately, for some, I know Dick, a long time. And anyway, we are blessed then, again, to have our school with us. And take note of the information that's in the bulletin, any of those opportunities that you have. Well, at this time then, we're going to begin our worship services today. They'll be on the screen again for you to follow along. And our opening hymn today is Children of the Heavenly Father, and that's in number 725. And Ken, we'll begin. And again, this morning, we make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we take a moment now in silence to reflect upon God's word and self-examination. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The intro at Psalm this morning is Psalm number 121. In this psalm, God reminds us that we are pilgrims. We are pilgrims on a journey to our heavenly home, and that our focus needs to be on the Lord who oversees our journey. Do not allow the mountains, the moon, sun, or anything else in creation to frighten us. For our God is eternal, and he's eternally alert, and he goes above and before us in all that we say and all things that we do. And so we begin. I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. He will not let your foot be moved. Behold, he who keeps Israel. The Lord is your keeper. The sun shall not strike you by day. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in.
From this time forth and forevermore.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of earth, for the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Almighty and everlasting God, you have commanded us to pray and have promised to hear us. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may direct and govern our hearts in all things, that we may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated now as we continue with our scripture readings for today. Mr. Gary Klipp will be sharing those with us.
The Old Testament reading for this 19th Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse 22. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel for this 19th Sunday after Pentecost comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. This is the parable of the persistent widow. "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, 'In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated once again, and at this time I would invite the children to come forward for today's special message that Mrs. Erickson has for you.
Good morning.
So good to see all of you here today in God's house. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm sure that you could tell me what this is.
Granola bar.
Food. A granola bar. Yes. So, I don't know about you guys, but when we walk in the door at the end of the day, one of the first things my kids say is, "Can I have a snack? I'm hungry. Can you get me a snack, Mom?" And granola bars, that's Lucy's favorite. She will usually ask, "Mom, can I have a granola bar?" Sophia might say, "Mom, can you get me a banana?" Because she likes bananas. Annalisa really likes plums. She might ask for a plum. David, if he's picking a snack, he might say, Mom, will you pop us some popcorn? Because that's his favorite snack. But you know what? What's your favorite snack?
One of my very favorite snacks, I would say, is Cheetos.
Cheetos. So you say, Mommy, Daddy, can I have some Cheetos? But it doesn't end at snack. When they walk in the kitchen in the morning all dressed, they say, we're hungry. What's for breakfast? Can you make us breakfast? And when it starts getting dark out and they're saying, we're hungry. Can you make us dinner? And it doesn't end in food either. So the other day, David came and said, my shoes are too small. I think my feet grew. I think I might need new shoes. Or this might happen a lot. He comes and says, I tore a big hole in my pants. Mom, can you look at this and see if you can fix it? Do you have a favorite food? Are you going to tell me?
My favorite food is mostly
bananas, too. Bananas, too. So you say, Mommy, can I have a banana? Ah, so my kids, man, they have a whole long list of things that they come and ask me for. They ask me to do. I can't find my stuffed animal. Mommy, I'm cold. Can you help me find another blanket? And at school, too, the kids are asking me questions. I don't understand number 16. Well, Mrs. E., what's the plural of wolf? Is it wolves or wolves? Or, oh, Mrs. E., how do we conjugate this verb? Now, there are so many questions that they come and ask me, and I bet that you guys go ask your parents, go ask your grandparents, go ask your teachers all day long. But you know what? That is okay. Because we, as a parent, me as a mom, I'm glad that my kids can come ask me things because that's my job, to give them food to eat, to keep them in a warm home, to make sure they have clothes to wear, things like that, to help provide for them. Their daddy and their mommy, that's their job here. Or their grandparents, or whoever you live with, it's your teacher's job to help you learn. It would be very, very silly if Sophia went next door and knocked on the door and said, I'm hungry, can I have a snack? And asked Mr. and Mrs. Best for a snack. That'd be a little bit silly.
Okay.
Or if Canyon left my room and walked down and asked for Mr. Whitney and said, I need help on my math, Mr. Whitney. Mr. Whitney would say, wait, where's your teacher? You can ask your teacher about that, because that's our job. We are here. God put us in this place as the adults in your life to help you, to provide for you. And that is an awesome responsibility, but blessing, because we love you so much and we want to help you and be there for you. When you want food, we want to give you food, good food to help your bodies grow. When you had a bad day, we want to hear about it. Maybe pray with you. When something awesome happens, we want to hear about that too, because we love you and we want to hear about all the good things. So that is our job, to be those providers and helpers for you. And we have somebody in the Bible verses today who had a problem. It sounds like it was something to do with the law in court, and the verdict, the decision of the judge, didn't go her way. And she was saying, this is not fair. Judge, can you look at this again and change your mind? Because this was not fair. And the judge would send her away. And she'd come back and say, this was not fair. Judge, can you think about this again? And he'd send her away. And finally, he said, she has been so persistent. That means she didn't give up. That's a big word, huh? Can we say persistent?
Persistent.
Yeah, it means we didn't give up. Now, does that mean that God, because we're thinking about prayer here. We're talking about prayer. Do we go to God with everything and he's going to give it to us all the time?
No.
Not all the time, no. God answers our prayers yes or no or not now, but he always wants us to go to him. We learned that in confirmation this week. We were doing the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, that God wants us to go to him and ask him things as dear children ask their dear parents. You want to be a what? A gymnastic? Oh, yeah, that would be fun, yes. And then you could help other people there. That would be your job, right? Yeah, that's the job, to help other people. So we go to God because he asks us to come to him with everything that we need. We are so thankful that God the Father loves us so much, that he created us, that he provides this world with everything in it that we're going to need. We are so thankful that God, the Son, Jesus, became a human, died on the cross for us, forgave our sins, washed them all away, and rose again on Easter to show that he is more powerful than sin or death or the devil. And we're so thankful that God, the Holy Spirit, lives in our hearts, and is growing our faith and comes to us through the words and the sacraments so that we can always be connected to God. And then he helps us be connected to each other too. And so we go to God. We pray to God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that at confirmation too. We don't pray to angels. We don't pray to our ancestors, all those people. We can pray right to God. We can go right to God anytime, all day long, with anything. So we'll remember that today, and we'll all listen to Mr. Whitney as he tells us a little bit more about God's word. But could you pray for me, please? Pray with me, please. Here we go. Heavenly Father, thank you for making us and giving us everything we need. Thank you for parents and grandparents and other adults who help take care of us too. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving our sins. The Holy Spirit, live in our hearts that we can share this good news with everyone. This good news with everyone. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, thank you. You can go back to your
place. I have new shoes.
I love them. Are your feet
new
too?
I got
two.
We thank you, God, for communicating with us through your word. Your word has both good and profitable uses. So help us this day to benefit from their application to our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, today our theme is use the word and be useful. It focuses in around the epistle reading that Gary shared with you earlier, from 2 Timothy. So, my dear fellow redeemed, the anesthesia was starting to do its thing. Virtus could feel the effects of the drugs within minutes. Everyone in the room sounded funny. The words they spoke were echoing in his head, and his eyes were getting heavier and heavier. Virtus was glad that he would be completely unconscious, for he was having a root canal done. But right before he closed his eyes, Virtus saw something that horrified him tremendously. The doctor wasn't holding a pick. He wasn't holding a mirror. He wasn't even holding a scalpel or a drill. He was holding a hammer and a screwdriver. Right then is when Virtus passed out. But you know, for those of you who have phobias about living or going to a dentist, let me assure you that this story was totally fictitious. Virtus did not have a root canal. I do understand, though, Joyce, you had one that wasn't too successful the first time. But what exactly is a root canal? Well, I looked it up, because I've never had one of these either. And after reading what it is, I've decided I don't ever want to have one ever. A root canal is a treatment used to repair and save a tooth that is badly decayed or becomes infected. During the canal procedure, the nerve and the pulp are removed, and the inside of the tooth is cleansed and sealed. Without treatment, this tissue surrounding the tooth will become infected, and an abscess may form. No wonder he had a hammer and a screwdriver. Well, as you well know, sitting in that chair and going under when your dentist approaches, and he might be having the wrong tools, doesn't set very well with us. Because with the wrong tools, he's not going to be able to do the job correctly. The wrong tools are even worse than useless. He could do serious harm and probably irreparable damage. And what is true for dentists is also true for pastors and teachers and all of us as Christians. If we use the wrong tools and share teachings that aren't God's word, then they are just as useless. They can do serious harm also, irreparable damage that could last for eternity. But with the right tools, and I'm going to say the right tool, which is the Word of God, they are useful, they are helpful, and they can do a world of good. So this morning we're going to consider a portion of Paul's letter written to Timothy from prison, encouraging young Timothy, and also us to be reminded that we are to use the right tool. That tool is the inspired, the inerrant Word of God that is useful in so many things. And when we use the Word, we also become useful. And so Paul encourages Timothy to use the Word and to be useful in 2 Timothy chapter 3 today. I'm going to share these words again with you from an interpretation, I call it, it's the contemporary language from the Bible called The Message. And it goes like this. These are Paul's inspired words again from God. But don't let this faze you. Stick with what you learned and believed, sure of the integrity of your teachers, while you took in the sacred scriptures with your mother's milk. There is nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful, one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live in God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for us. I can't impress this on you too strongly. God is looking over your shoulder. Christ Himself is the judge with the final say on everyone, living and dead. He is about to break into the open with His rules, so proclaim the message with intensity. Keep on your watch. Challenge, warn, and urge your people. Don't ever quit. Just keep it simple. You're going to find that there will be times when people have no stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase mirages. But you, keep your eye on what you are doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servant. Someone once told me that the worst form of child abuse is to neglect our children's spiritual care. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1, Paul puts it this way. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. 2 weeks ago, we heard in our epistle lesson how Timothy had become a believer through his mother and also his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. From that time, he was an infant. Those godly women used the right tool, the Holy Scriptures. Why? Because it was there to nurture Timothy's faith in God's gracious promises. But unfortunately, his father was one who neglected anything that was spiritual. So the question I put before you today is this. Are we like Eunice and Lois? Or are we sharing the Word of God with our own families? Or are we like Timothy's dad? Well, unfortunately, I believe the sad reality for many Christian parents is that they are no longer the primary faith nurturers of their own children. And why is that? Well, I think the answer is kind of obvious. We aren't spending time in the Word ourselves. And if we are not being spiritually nurtured, then how can we nurture our children who are starving spiritually? The story goes of a 7-year-old who came home from school and announced to his parents. And by show of hands this morning, how many of you have any 7-year-olds at home? You might appreciate this. Okay, listen carefully. I'm not going to school anymore. When his parents asked why, he replied, I don't need to. I know how to read. I know how to add. I know everything I need to know to get by in life. But what useless parents those would be if they ever let their son drop out of 2nd grade. Remember that. Yeah. So many Christians sadly say this. Well, I'm not going to go to Bible class anymore. I don't need to. I was confirmed. I did my memory work. I completed the Bible information class. As growing up as a young man in high school, I remember that very vividly. I became a Christian in 16 weeks. It was a miracle. The Bible information class. But I didn't quit then, because I sure didn't know everything I needed to know. I know all I need to know to get by in life and for eternity. Could we become useless Christians if we stop growing in our faith? And aren't we guilty of doing that, though? Here again, St. Paul asks, you're going to find that there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions and that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on the truth and chase mirages. And I would ask you all to think about that this morning. Let's be honest. Do we sometimes prefer spiritual junk food to the truth of God's Word? Sometimes it's just in preferring to hear that we are pretty good Christians instead of a corrupt and vile sinner. After all, here we are this morning. We're all here in church. Where else could we be but sleeping in? Sometimes it's not false doctrine that our itching ears want to hear, but it's simply entertainment. We would rather watch another movie filled with myths that numb our minds than we would want to read the full truth of God's Word that would feed us and feed our souls. And when we don't continue in those Holy Scriptures that we have learned and become convinced of, then neither do we proclaim the message with intensity and keep on your watch. We don't challenge, we don't warn, we don't urge other people. Don't ever quit, just keep it simple. You know, we can't nourish others if we are underfed and malnourished ourselves. So, are we all destined then to be thrown away into hell for how useless we have been by our own spiritual neglect of ourselves and others? And my answer to you this morning is absolutely not. That is not our fate. Not when we stick with what we've learned and believed, sure of its intensity of our teachers and the integrity of them all. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing us the way of salvation through our Lord Christ Jesus. Now, Pastor Allman, I see you sitting there. I have a question for you this morning, and you can answer for the entire group. If I told you that I had a product that was guaranteed to make you perfectly healthy forever, make you wealthy beyond your wildest dreams, and make you happier than you could possibly imagine, if I told you that this product has worked 100% of the time for all who have applied it properly and regularly, and if I told you, Pastor, that you could get this product free of charge, not for just a limited time, but whenever and as often as you want it, would you use that product? Sounds good. Too good to be true, right? Well, it's not. But I have that product for you today, Pastor. It's called the Holy Scriptures. These are 66 books that offer more than just wisdom to get ahead in life. They are more than just flat, lifeless words on a page. They are not produced by just some human authors, but they are the product of the Holy Spirit. Now, if these scriptures were just words of men writing their thoughts about God, they wouldn't be of much value for us. They wouldn't even lift us enough to the life that we have in heaven. It would be useless. But these are not lifeless, useless words. They are God-breathed words. They can lift us up to heaven. They show us the way to salvation through faith in our Lord Christ Jesus. They share the truth of Jesus with us, that he was perfect, he was sinless, and he lived in our place, of his innocent suffering and death, also done in our place, and of his resurrection that guarantees that we too will rise and live with him. Where? Forever in heaven, where we will be perfectly healthy forever, wealthy beyond our wildest dreams, and happier than we can possibly imagine. So I'm here this morning to encourage you. Let all of us use God's word. Let's read it. Let's learn it. Let's inwardly digest it, study it, and for you young people, memorize it. Put the useful word to use in your lives. Let it teach us when we need instruction. Let it rebuke us when we are selfish. Let it correct us when our thinking is off. And when we do use that word, we know what the results will be. Paul once again put it this way: we will be put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for us. We will be useful. And thankfully, my dear friends, you and I are equipped with the right tool. We do have the Word of God, both this life and in the life to come. You know, every part of Scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us in to live as God's way. So use the Word, and you will be useful. We need to teach our children the Word of God and give them the most useful tool for life, both now in this life and especially in the life to come. We see the empty cross, we see the empty tomb in the Word, and we need to be trained to live godly and righteous lives in thanks for the righteousness that God has given to us. And so we, men and women, and the boys and girls of God, we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We will be equipped to help others. We will be prepared to break into the open with His rule, to proclaim the message with intensity, keeping on our watch to challenge, warn, and urge people. Never quitting, but keep it simple. And as we use those words, they are useful in every situation that we come across in life. And we too will be useful in the service of our Lord. So let us keep our eyes on what we're doing, accept the hard times along with the good, and keep the message alive, sharing those holy God-breathed words in Scripture with those that we know, so that we can do a thorough job as servants of God. Use the Word and be useful. In Jesus' name, dear friends, we ask it. Amen. And now, Lord, make us an ever-ready hearer of Your Word. Do not let us seek preaching that satisfies our sinful desires, but give us preaching that will constantly return us to the forgiveness that You have given us through Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And in His name we ask it. Amen. Well, at this time then, we will take the opportunity to make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, and I would invite the congregation to stand as we speak those words. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated, and we continue our worship with the offering.
able to stand, I will invite you to
stand for prayer as we begin. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord has urged us to be persistent in prayer on behalf of ourselves and of all people as they have need, and he has promised to answer, so let us pray. Almighty God, your Son encouraged us to be diligent in prayer, and Paul called us to pray without ceasing. Hear the prayers of your people for the sake of your Son, and grant your blessing to all who come before you on bended knee. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have promised to protect, defend, and prosper your church through your word. Give us wise and faithful pastors who will preach your word without constraint and open our ears and hearts to hear and believe it. Bless us with faithful church workers and bless those now preparing for your service. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you hold accountable all those who govern and lead your people. Bless, guide, and instruct our president, Congress, governor, and all in authority that they govern according to your will and purpose for the cause of peace among the nations, for the common good of all, for our protection against our enemies, and for the promotion of virtue and the punishment of evil. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Bless those who gather to teach and learn your word, especially our Sunday school, catechism classes, and Bible studies, that we show ourselves wise and faithful sons and daughters who delight in your word and walk in your ways. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you carry the burdens of us all in your Son, who was wounded for our transgressions. Deliver the sick from illness, especially those who are listed in our bulletins this day, the suffering from their pain, the troubled from their distress, and any fears that they may have. Especially today, Lord, we remember Vernon Daubert, who suffered a stroke recently. Lord, be with his caregivers now, and especially his wife, Elaine, as he works through that process to regain his strength. Give him the courage and the strength in his affliction to trust in your promises and to wait for your promised healing with patience. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have promised never to abandon your children. Give us such confidence in your gracious will that we not abandon you in times of testing, grow weary when our hope is tried, or listen with itching ears to the false voices who would entice us. Help us always and in all things to hold on to your promises with joy and thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you know our frailty and our weakness, that we do not always know how to pray or what to pray for. So grant us all things good and profitable for our salvation. Deliver us from all things harmful through Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom all glory, honor, and worship are yours, Holy Father, in unity of the Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now receive the blessings of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen.
sense, serve